Now more than ever. Lowe's knows you don't just want a low price. You want the lowest price. And with our lowest price guarantee, you can count on us for competitive prices on all your home improvement projects. If you find a qualifying lower price somewhere else on the same item, we'll match it. Lowe's. We help. You save. Price match applies to same item. Current price at qualifying retailers. Exclusions and terms apply. Learn how we'll match price at Lowe's.com/lowest price guarantee.
Good evening. This is John Batchelor. Tonight, the show starts with the challenge to the U.S. and its arsenal of democracy to supply the needs of Ukraine in its slugfest with the Russian Federation and its ally China and North Korea and Tehran, and the needs that Israel is likely to have in these next days as it prepares to deal with the threat from the south, that would be Hamas, the threat from the north, that would be Hezbollah, and the author of all of these troubles, that's Tehran, Iran, the Islamic Republic. A subset of the Islamic Republic is the Hezbollah, headquartered in Beirut, and the Syrian actors in Damascus who support the rocket factory that has brought 150,000 missiles to Baqa, north of Israel. So the Israelis are likely to have needs of sophisticated ammunition and ordinary ammunition for tank rounds. I have a conversation with Brad Bowman of the Foundation for the Defense of Democracy, how to think about this and how to think about the deployment of the U.S. carrier battle group into the Eastern Mediterranean to support what comes next. Also a conversation about counterterrorism with Jonathan Schanzer of the Foundation for the Defense of Democracy, the limits of it, and yes, the intelligence failure that seems likely to be the explanation how the attack overwhelmed the Israeli defense mechanisms on a Saturday morning in Israel on a holiday. And then a lengthy conversation indeed, with my friend Malcolm Honlein, who was he's in Jerusalem, and he's just returning from visiting the front line around the Gaza perimeter and the Israeli settlements that were attacked by the raiders in the early morning of Saturday, the 7th of October. What Malcolm described as horror. I won't go into the details. He has some of them. You can read them. There is the warning that many of the videos online are not truth. They're social media manipulation by the enemy, the adversaries of the Israelis and the United States and NATO and everybody else who believes in law and order and living quietly with your family. So beware of the social media. There's also speculation about a cyber attack that helped mask the attackers. And then a conversation about Africa, but Africa regarding what comes next for the jihadists. Hamas is not strictly an al-Qaeda operation. It's very much attached to Iran, which is a terrorist state sponsor. But the jihadists who now abide in Africa are watching events in Gaza, watching events in Israel, watching the war that has just broken out, and finding either inspiration or guidance or in some fashion support in these horrible events. And Caleb Weiss of the Bridgeway Foundation and the Foundation for the Defense of Democracy, along with his colleague Bill Raggio, support on a report on the al-Qaeda franchise known as al-Shabaab launching wave after wave of suicide attack this year. And Caleb's measure is that as the African Union forces withdraw from Mogadishu, Somalia could very well be the second African state to fall under the Islamic Republic, the ambitions of the jihadists. The first would be Mali. And then a conversation, an important conversation about China watching and watching China with Gordon Chang and Charles Burton, and how the Canadian press has reported this, how the Chinese press has reported this. Charles reports, because he has the Mandarin, that the early take by China, by the official newspapers in China, was that this attack was launched by Israel, and this attack, the U.S. and Israel are responsible for these events. That is what the Chinese people were told in these last hours. And then a conversation with Bill Raggio and Hussein Haqqani, not only about the earthquake in Afghanistan, but also about Pakistan and how it regards the fighting in the Middle East. We were on the eve of the Abraham Accords, bringing in Saudi Arabia in rapprochement with Israel. And what Hussein Haqqani tells me is that Pakistan watches Riyadh and would have followed Riyadh into the Abraham Accords. It is now officially not front and center, described as back burner. However, all of these events tumble and there's no predicting what comes next. The Pakistani people are prejudiced against Israel in most instances. However, the army of Pakistan is sympathetic to working with the U.S. and its ally Israel and NATO. So all of these events do not add up to just one thing. And then it's a consideration necessary because the Americas, the New World Report, how do the Americas regard the events in the Middle East and Ukraine? Because the Wall Street Journal is reporting that the author and funders and green lighters of the operation included the Islamic Republic of Iran's Iranian Revolutionary Guards Corps and Hezbollah, its surrogate, its servant that is headquartered in Beirut. Hezbollah in South America becomes our inquiry with Joseph Umar and Ernesto Araujo. We speak of Venezuela Hezbollah, Colombia Hezbollah, Argentina Hezbollah, Palestinian diaspora, the largest outside anywhere in the world is 500,000 Palestinians in Chile. What is their opinion? And then Ernesto speaks of Lula da Silva masking his support for Hamas and Hezbollah and presenting himself as a man who's just interested in peace. Anyway, there's much more on the show devoted to the event in the Middle East that has now rattled everyone, totally everyone. The day before the attack on October 7th seems a long way away, a long way from here. A split-screen war, two wars at once, demanding the arsenal of democracy resupply. Thank you for listening. Good night.